good evening. Thank you all so much for being here tonight for this very important conversation, which is going to be interactive. Welcome to Your Wishes, Generational Wealth and Estate Planning Interactive Podcast. I'm Sabrina Lamb, the founder and CEO of the World of Money, the leading provider of immersive youth financial education globally, as well as the founder of Wakeza, which means invest in Swahili, that's for adults. So tonight is a safe place for you to have all your questions answered and dispel the myths regarding estate planning, because we have our expert attorney standing by. And you know, this conversation that we're about to have is really, really important, because when we think about education, financial education, often only thing we think about is budgeting, saving, credit, but estate planning is huge. Just think about your family, I think about my family, and maybe all of the issues that come about when we're thinking of our transition or our family and that generational wealth transfer that is often left on the table and decided by third parties, and how expensive that can be for not knowing. So just a short story. I've had a very intimate experience with this issue regarding estate planning. So my father, a military man, passed away intestate, meaning without a will. And unfortunately, two women in Georgia befriended him and had his documents, legal documents, transferred into their names. And so I had to travel to Georgia to a probate court to have all the matters settled regarding my father's documents and everything. And yes, I did put them in jail. Yes, I did. But the issue is, why? Why, when we're grieving our family members, or we want our wishes to be making sure that they're fulfilled, whether it's our children, the transfer of the property, all of that, why doesn't have to be? And usually it is not because of any fault of our own. No, it's because we don't know the kind of plans we need to put in place to put everything so that everything can be in order. And that during that time, you definitely want order. And I have an announcement. GoFundMe is not estate planning. Okay? GoFundMe is not estate planning. So tonight you're going to learn what is estate planning and how you can apply it to your life. And again, bravo to all of you, because by having a plan, we can take back, so to speak, the trillions of dollars, particularly, you know, if you're African American or, you know, Latino, taking back all the trillions of dollars that we're leaving on the table. Here's a couple of myths that I want you to think about, maybe you've thought of regarding estate planning. Maybe you thought, I'm not rich, so I don't need an estate plan, or I'm not rich, or my cost for estate planning is too high, or any attorney can do it, or you don't need an estate plan if you don't have children, or if I bring up estate planning, somebody thinks I want them dead. So all of those myths we need to shatter and do away with, and hit the reset button on our financial life and our legacy. Your wishes, you deserve to have your wishes and that of your family's wishes fulfilled. So I'm going to bring to the stage a brilliant, brilliant expert in this field. Her name is Lily N. Nkochuk. She is an attorney with LLM. She's the owner and managing attorney of her firm. She partners with individuals, families, business owners in order to meet their estate and business planning goals. She helps clients address their vision and devise appropriate tax efficient strategies, because that comes in there too. Some people say, well, you can't take it with you. Well, the government wants their cut anyway. So she is uniquely skilled in removing complexity, speaking in English, so her clients can take control of their personal and business objectives. So welcome to Money Talks, Attorney Lily.
Thank you, Sabrina. Thank you, everyone, for being here. This is awesome.
So, and we have everyone dialing in from all across the country, which is really great. Let's just address some of the myths. Mm-hmm. I'm not rich, so I don't need an estate plan.
Yes, very common. I always have to tell persons, estate planning is really about the orderly distribution of your assets. Do not get caught up in the value of your assets. Don't allow anyone to talk you out of creating a plan for your assets. If you have people you care about and assets you care about, and you want to put instructions around that, then you're the perfect person for estate planning. Many times, well-mannered or well-meaning people will say, oh, you don't need to do that. Everything's going to go to your spouse. Oh, you don't need to do that. Everything is going to go to your children anyway. But they don't realize the complexities that lie waiting when you don't have a plan for yourself. So if you have people you care about and assets you care about, estate planning is for you. Do not worry about the value of your assets, because there are levels, Sabrina, of estate planning, right? So the planning I would do from Oprah would be different than the planning I would do for someone who makes $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 per year. But both people have a right to tell their story. Both people have a right to create a plan. And that's what estate planning really boils down to.
Now, children, are they assets? Can I write, let's say I have biological children. Mm-hmm. Can I say, I want aunt so-and-so to raise my children as opposed to crazy uncle so-and-so?
Yes, yes. And you know what? That's a great way to phrase it. Are children assets? I think people are assets, because a lot of times we constantly talk about generational planning from the monetary perspective, but our generations are made up of people first, before money, before assets. So yes, the contribution that we as people are able to make to our family generation over generation, that is an asset. And you absolutely have every right to say, should both parents pass away, then this is the person I nominate to take care of my child. And emphasis on both. Sometimes you run into people who say, I don't really want my child's father to be the guardian or my child's mother to be the guardian. You can't cut out the parents. So there has to be a family meeting about that. So really the plan is about what happens when both parents pass away. And yes, you can choose the sane aunt and not the insane uncle.
Well, wait a minute now. We got to have a family meeting about what I want with the children. I have to get my spouse or partner consent on what I want.
Yes.
Regarding the children.
Absolutely. Regarding the children, estate planning for me, and I've been doing this for 15 years. I've worked with people in Seattle all the way down to South Beach. And I have found that the most cohesive plan is the plan that's not sprung on the family at the funeral. Right. So you don't have to tell everyone every little sentence and asset that's listed inside your plan, but you should have a family meeting that says, these are my general plans. These are the people who are going to step in and manage all of this when I'm not here. These are the people who are going to raise my child or children in the event me and my partner pass away. And your partner needs to be on board. Let's say I have a will and I say, oh, when I die, my mom is going to raise my daughter. I've just cut out my husband. My husband has every right to cause a stink about that. Even if we weren't married, he has every right to cause a stink about that. Let's have a conversation with our important family members so that we don't have a stink at the end of the day.
Now, what I really appreciated, and everyone, please put your questions in the chat so Attorney Lily can answer them. We're going to answer your questions, get to all of them. Yes. So what I appreciate about Michael Jackson is when he passed away, he had a trust. Mm-hmm. Which immediately transferred his assets to the executors for his estate.
Yes.
Really appreciated that. So two questions. The people that he had as executors to his massive estate, this mm-hmm. is Michael Jackson,
yep.
None of them were related. Yeah. Tito, Janet, another person named Randy.
Yeah.
None of them. Tito, yeah. None of them were an executive to the state. So one of my sisters and my brothers, I put transfer all my assets to these other people. Can my family attest that? And then the second question is, would you share with everyone the difference between a trust and a will?
Okay, fantastic question. Michael Jackson, firstly, you can name anyone to be the trustee of your trust or the executor of your will. There is no legal requirement that it must be a family member, a spouse, a child, a best friend. If I trusted my accountant and I wanted her to be the trustee of my trust, I have every right to do that. Can my family contest that my accountant is the trustee and not my husband? Anyone can contest anything. The question is, do they have the money to contest? And will they be successful with the contestation? So Michael Jackson can absolutely name someone to be the trustee. Most people get aggravated and uncomfortable if they don't like the distribution terms, right? So he might have chosen, yes, he might have chosen someone else to be the trustee, but as long as I'm getting money from the trust, and I'm Tito, I'm not going to have anything to say about it. But if I see that he left everybody something and didn't leave me anything, or he gave all of his money to charity and no family member got anything, then I'm like, this isn't right. This isn't. And then you start having family members get all up in arms.
I taught him all his choreography.
I made him who he is, right? So yes, you can absolutely name someone else to manage your estate. That's not the problem. The issue becomes when your distributions feel like they run counter to what your family would have thought you would have done. And that's why I say the family meeting is important without letting out too much of your information. I could show up to my family and say, listen, I want everyone to know I'm giving everything to charity. And I have language in my trust that says if anyone tries to contest this will, there's going to be a problem. So I can create safeguards for my clients to try to keep the drama under control, but
Yes.
I do play part-time therapist, so
Yes.
it
Yes. And what is the difference between a will and a trust? And is
Yeah.
it true with a trust, you do not have to engage with probate court? Could you talk about those mechanisms there?
Yes. So the will, I use this analogy. Think of the will as a crossing guard, the person who's hanging out at the corner of your child's school. The crossing guard's job is to stop traffic and say, I need to get this child, this student, from one corner of the street to the other. And as soon as that child gets to the other side of the street, the crossing guard's job is done. They're not following them to class to make sure they actually went to class. They're not asking them if they ate or if they have any friends to play with on the playground. That's not the job. The job is just to get the child to the other side of the street. Your will's job is just to get your assets out of your estate into the named beneficiary. That's all they do. If that beneficiary receives their inheritance and they waste it in Vegas, that's their problem. If they receive their inheritance and they turn into the next Oprah Winfrey, that's their problem. So the executor and or the will is responsible for being quick and dirty. Sabrina's giving you this. Sabrina's giving you this. Sabrina's not giving you anything. Sabrina's giving you this. Here are your assets. This estate is closed. I wish everyone well. I know this is a difficult period because you're mourning Sabrina. If you say, on the contrary, I want to give these loved ones an asset, but I really need to control when and how they receive. I need them to reach age 25. I need them to graduate. They're not really good with money. I can't give them everything at once. I don't trust their spouse. And if they get a divorce, I don't want them to get what I've left to them. There might be substance abuse, mental illness, a history of incarceration. If you have a desire to control the asset over a long period of time, then that's the trust. If your goal is everyone's grown, I trust them, there's no major red flags, they can get their assets all at once, then that's the will. And yes, the trust skips probate. And a lot of times people will say, well, if I have the trust, do I even need the will? And the answer is yes, because we're not, no one's ever really going to skip probate completely because there's going to be something in your estate that's just hanging out there. and we need to know what to do with it legally. Do people just show up at the house and take your stuff anyway sometimes? Sometimes, but legally, we need to distribute those assets. And then also we need to go through probate, because if I need to call Bank of America, Bank of America is not talking to me if I don't have my paperwork from the court. I can't negotiate with MasterCard to try to get rid of your debt if I don't have the paperwork from the court. Mm-hmm. So I still want to go to the court so that I can have that legal authority, but I might want most of all of the heavy lifting to be inside of the trust. Because that's the private document that doesn't go through probate. But I still want a very streamlined will to try to move me through probate as quickly as possible so I can get my letters and do all of the other nooks and crannies of activities that come up when someone passes away. So people, don't be afraid of probate. Try to think of minimizing probate versus completely eliminating probate, because no one really eliminates probate.
Let's go to the questions. They're coming in. Yes. First, let's start. You're welcome, Felicia and Wendy and Charisse. I remember Charisse. Blessed Princess. She said, hi, do you work inheritance law in dispute in Ghana?
I do not. That's a great question. You have to work, make sure you're working with an attorney who's licensed in your state. I'm in New York, New Jersey, DC, Maryland, and Georgia. I don't have any international licenses. I would be able to connect with some people who might be able to do that. But here's the thing. The question becomes, are you saying you're a resident of Ghana or you have assets in Ghana? Because we can create documents that are state specific that mention the Ghanaian properties, but then we have to make sure that the Ghanaian law is going to recognize it. And that's when we have to partner with someone either in Ghana or who practices law, who has a license from Ghana, to work out those details. So that's what I would ask Blessed, if she's in Ghana or if she just has assets in Ghana.
Blessed, could you answer that question in the chat, please? Thank you. Davidra Salisbury, will we be discussing land trust? This is in reference to family-owned land. Thanks.
Land trust. You don't see that very often, because land trusts are only for land, meaning there's no other asset that's going in there. You're not putting your home, you're not putting your investment accounts, you're not putting your art. It's really just for land. And most persons are doing that because they want to have extra anonymity. Because if I own land and I wanted to put it in someone else's name, I could. If I wanted to put it in an LLC, I could. If I wanted to put it in a revocable trust, I could. Mm-hmm. Some people want to go the extra step and put it in a land trust, mainly for anonymity purposes. So you don't see that very often, but that does exist. And that's an option for persons who own considerable amount of land and or want to ensure that the land stays in the family.
Thank you, Davidra. As coming up now is Patricia Knight Mingo. Are trusts effective immediately, or do they have to be in place for a certain length of time? Great question.
Immediately. The moment you sign your document, your witnesses sign, your notary stamps, that is an effective legal document. You can start to transfer assets into that trust. You can start to name the trust as beneficiaries, as a beneficiary of other assets. For example, some people say, I have a life insurance policy. It's $500,000. I don't want my children to receive $500,000. That's too much for them all at once. I will, instead of naming my children as the beneficiaries, I will name my trust as the beneficiary. So when I die, the $500,000 goes into my trust, and the trust will pay out money to my children based on my instructions. So the reason we can do all of that is because your trust is live and effective the moment it is executed.
Okay. Anika Wilson, thank you for joining us. I was advised to put all of my assets into a revocable trust to avoid probate. Please discuss.
Similar to what I said earlier, we don't want to necessarily avoid probate, Ms. Anika, because again, there are other things that are going on in your life where someone will need to be named the executor so they can get the letters from the court so that they can interface with your bank accounts, your former employer, the city department to pay the last bit of taxes, the IRS to pay your last tax return. You need legal authority to do that type of paperwork. And so you need the letters from the court in order to do that. So could you put most of your big assets in a revocable trust? Absolutely. Is it possible to put every single thing you own in the trust? Yeah, we can draft provisions that basically say anything that I owned at the time of my death, put it in the trust. But it's my professional opinion that you should still go through the probate process so that your executor can get the letters. Because remember, really quickly, your will is a beautiful document, but it doesn't have any power until you pass away. And the executor who's named in the will, they don't have any power until they go to the court. So we have to go through the court so that they can get their letters. And then do all of the things, like I said before, mainly opening accounts, closing accounts, interfacing with the various institutions and your former employer. All of those people want court paperwork before they'll even talk to your executor or your loved ones.
Thank you.
Of course.
Tracy Holder is asking, I own two properties. Should I put them in a trust with my children as the beneficiaries?
Well, it depends, which is the perfect lawyer answer. When people say trust, I need to know what kind of trust, because everyone in the world keeps talking about trust and they act like trust solve, you know, global warming. Just put everything in a trust and everything is solved. And that's not the case. Mm-hmm. The better question is, what are you trying to accomplish, Ms. Holder? Are you concerned? Are you trying to protect it from creditors? Are you afraid that you're going to be sued by someone? Are you trying to protect it from a potential ex-spouse? That lets me know what type of trust to use. Does your child have a special need where they are receiving government benefits? That tells me what type of trust. So let us know what exactly you're trying to accomplish, and then I can tell you which trust is best for you. Don't be wary of anything that says, oh, all you need is this one thing and it solves everything. I've never seen that, and I've been doing this for 15 years.
We have more questions. Would like to ask, what if we're asked to be an executor for someone's estate?
Say no. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you, tonight. What are the responsibilities of that?
Oh, gosh. And I jokingly say no, because I want to be honest with you all. It's not always the easiest job. And we ask a lot of our family members who are grieving for them to also intermix in their grieving, to go to the court, to talk to the attorney, to fill out the paperwork, to get the assets, to deal with all of the emotions that other family members are feeling. Because the job of the executor is find all of the assets that were in the name of the decedent. Make sure they have the original will, which hopefully they do. Go to the probate court or the surrogate's court and submit the will and says, you know, Lily has passed away. This is her will. This is her original will. You see that it's signed and everything. I'm named as Lily's executor. Judge so-and-so, can you give me my official letters so that I can start completing my duties? So I need to go to the court. I need to go to the court with an original will. I need to go to the court with a death certificate. And I need to go to the court with a petition that's already completed. Either you're doing that on your own or you're hiring an attorney to help you. And then let's say the executor gets their letters. Now their job is to make sure that the assets are there, distribute everything to the beneficiaries. My personal preference is to get something in writing from the beneficiary to prove that they've gotten their gift, because people like to act really funky. Never underestimate how quickly family dynamics change when someone has passed away and there's money at play. Right. So get it in writing that the beneficiary has received their asset, and then close the estate. That is the summation of what the executor is responsible for. Be prepared for people to call you. Where's my stuff? How long is this going to take? Why were you named the executor and not me? There can, especially if the family's challenging, has a bunch of challenging personalities, the executor has to manage those challenging personalities.
Okay. Let's see. Felicia Palmer asked, oh, actually before Felicia, they have another one. Let's put this up there and then we bring up Felicia. Someone from LinkedIn says, what are the differences between living, revocable, and irrevocable trust? Break that down, Attorney Lily.
Thank you, Miss or Mr. LinkedIn user. Living and revocable are the same thing. You will hear people call it a family trust, a living trust, a revocable living trust, or just a revocable trust. That group refers to the same thing. Revocable trust means I'm creating a trust that I can access and edit for whatever reason I desire. I can put assets in, I can take assets out. I can change the beneficiaries. I can change my instructions. I can cancel the whole trust if I feel like it. So it's really seen from the IRS's perspective, it's seen as an extension of you. So it's like moving your money from your left pocket to your right pocket, but it's in the same pair of pants. You still can put your hands in there. You're still wearing the pants. You're still in control. And the reason I'm going to do it is because I want to avoid probate, one. Mm-hmm. And two, I want to have very specific instructions about who receives what when I pass away and when. The irrevocable trust is a set it and forget it. You're putting your asset in there and then you are taking your hands off. You are not entitled to income. You are not changing the terms. You are not changing your mind. You are essentially giving that asset away. Look at it as if you just gave it away to another person and now they're doing what they need to do with it. The reason people will choose an irrevocable trust is twofold. They get sued often, gynecologists, construction workers, and there's another group that gets sued a lot. It'll come to me. So they're trying to protect their assets. In the event they're being sued, whoever's suing them cannot have access to anything that's inside an irrevocable trust. That's the one reason why people will choose that. Another reason is if people are, they meet the state or federal definition of wealthy and they have an estate tax waiting for them. I'll use New York. New York, you're wealthy if, as a single person, you're worth more than $6 million. So if I run into a client that's worth $8 million, $9 million, $12 million, they want to use an irrevocable trust so that they can start putting assets in the trust. Because the golden rule is if you don't own it, they can't tax it. So I'll put money inside, I'll put assets inside an irrevocable trust so I can get it out of my name. Or I'll put assets in an irrevocable trust if I'm concerned about creditors. Outside of those two circumstances, I'm more partial to a revocable trust so that you can have flexibility and, right, and make changes as your life changes.
Can you, let's say you're a business owner, should and can you put that in those assets or that business, even the intellectual property regarding that business in a will or a trust?
You can put your business inside of a trust. When people say they want to do that, I always ask them why, because they might be able to accomplish the same goal without doing that. In my experience, people often say, I want to put my business in a trust to protect it. And I have to remind them the S-Corp status, the LLC status, the partnership status is already affording you quite a bit of protection. That's just the way the entities are drafted in the states. So if you're already getting protection because you're an LLC, what additional protection do you want? Well, I want to make sure that it goes to my daughter and not my son. We can create an operating agreement or a buy-sell agreement that says that. So I have to peel back the layers to figure out why someone would do that. And the only reason I've seen it make sense, meaning I'm putting my business in a trust, is if you're telling me you want it to go to your children, but your children aren't old enough or they're not ready to take on that responsibility. So you're using the trust as like a middleman, like a holding company, and then they'll get it later.
Just want to go back to the executor responsibility question.
Yes. Yes.
Is there a financial obligation to be someone's executor?
No.
Does the executor have to pay a fee?
No. The executor does not have to pay to be the executor. And I will say this. There might be fees that come up that the executor wants to pay. For instance, let's say they need to file paperwork with the court and it costs $400 to do that. The executor may want to pay that, but they will be reimbursed from the estate. So the executor doesn't have to pay and they shouldn't necessarily have to come out of pocket. But if they do come out of pocket, they should absolutely be reimbursed for any expenses incurred as a result of their executorship duties.
What if the assets have zero value? Maybe it's, the executor is clear.
Yes.
What could happen?
That's perfect. Because the executor, if they come out of pocket, they're going to be reimbursed from the estate. But if the estate has no money, then the executor is not going to be reimbursed. So a good question to ask when someone is coming to you and saying, oh, I want you to be my executor. What assets do you think will be part of your estate? Number one, what's liquid, right? You might be a millionaire in property and land, but have $75 in your checking account. That's going to make it difficult for the executor if he or she doesn't have any liquidity. Because now you're putting them in the situation where they have to come out of pocket and then maybe sell an asset in order to be reimbursed. And if that's an asset that's supposed to stay in the family, that's going to cause a headache. So leaving behind some liquidity for your family and executor to be able to move and shake and do the things that need to be done is highly suggested, whether that's checking or savings account or life insurance. Leave some form of liquidity because having no cash in the estate makes it more challenging.
Give everyone the language. You know, Lily, I would love for you to be the executor for my estate. Then you say what to me? How much liquid you have, Sabrina?
You know what, Sabrina? That is so awesome. I'm so glad that you're doing planning. That's a big deal. You know, you've actually inspired me to do my own planning. So when you... why are you choosing me?
Because I think you're responsible.
I am. Thank you. I am responsible. Okay.
And we grew up together.
And we grew up together. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to tell me what are the main things that you want me to do as an executor? Is there a particular asset you really care about? Is there something that really moves you? Because the reason, I'm asking you this, Sabrina, because I want to know what's really motivating you, because that helps me do my job, because I might run into a lot of friction down the line. But if I remember that you told me your main goal is to make sure that your daughter never lives with your sister-in-law, then I'm going to keep that in mind. Or if you tell me it's really important for me to keep this brownstone in the family, then I'm going to avoid selling at all costs. So I'm thanking you. I'm praising you for doing planning. I'm thanking you for choosing me. I'm asking you why you're choosing me. And I'm asking you, above all else, what are the top three things that are really important for you, and so that I can do my job well? And then the last thing is, what do you think will be inside of your estate?
Okay.
It's a lot, but if y'all have questions, you can schedule an appointment and
it's good to have the language.
Yes.
It's good to have the language. And I'll throw some other hypotheticals to you. So Sherelle asked, Felicia Palmer asked, can trusts expire before a person dies?
No. Trusts typically last for a couple of decades after the youngest trust beneficiary passes away. So, for instance, in New York, I can say this trust will live on for another 21 years after the youngest trust beneficiary passes away. So if my youngest trust beneficiary is my four-year-old and my four-year-old lives to 80, then my trust is still in existence for another 21 years after that. So it doesn't expire. A trust can be canceled, but it's not going to expire.
Okay. And let us know if that is clear, Felicia.
Yes, please.
And then she also, Sherelle asked, a lot of people asking about trust tonight.
Yes.
Sherelle Allen is asking, okay, so I know very little about trust. Where do I file my trust? How do I get started? And do I need an attorney?
Yes, you need an attorney. You get started by contacting an attorney to discuss what you're trying to achieve. And trusts aren't filed anywhere. They are private documents. No one has to see your trust before you pass away. And this is why when a celebrity passes away, they'll start talking about what's in their will. Wills are public documents. They go through the court process. If you wanted to and you had enough information, you could go to the court right now and ask for Mrs. Johnson's will.
Wow.
But your trust is private, so it doesn't need to be filed anywhere. What's important is your family members, the family members who need to know where it's located, because it is not uncommon for someone to come to me and say, my mom died and I know she had a will and I believe she had a trust, but I can't find it. I've turned this house inside and out and I don't know where it is. If you can't find it, then we can't go to the judge and say, we're pretty sure she had one, Your Honor. We're going to have to proceed as if there was no will and there was no trust. So just telling people where it's located is good enough. It doesn't need to be filed with your county or your attorney or anything like that.
Let's revisit the whole intestate.
Okay.
Some of us, when 70% of African Americans have zero will or zero trust, what happens with everything, your assets, everything that you've accumulated in your life? What happens?
The good news is it will eventually go to your next of kin. The not so good news is it may be ripped apart and eroded on its way there.
Talk about that.
So what I mean by that is most states have a statute, intestacy, that says, listen, if you die without having instructions, we're going to give you the instructions. And most states say, if you're married and no children, give everything to the spouse. If you're married with children, split it between the spouse and the children. No spouse, no children, then we start looking for your parents. No parents, then we start looking for your siblings. And we go down the family tree from there. And if you are one of those persons who have no living relative, and it's not as rare as you think it is, I've had two people come to me who are the last person standing in their generation. And if you have no other heir to whom can receive your assets, then it goes to the state. And the state is not interested in like keeping your stuff. They're just going to sell it and get the money. And the money now belongs to the state. So if you pass away without a will or trust or any directions, then the state will distribute it based on who your next living kin is.
And if you don't have it, the state that you reside.
Exactly.
Says, thank you very much.
Yes. Yes. And the reason I say that, it'll likely eventually get there, but it'll be beat up and bruised, is because one, if no one is taking charge of the process and making sure that this is going through the court, then it languishes and property taxes aren't being paid, mortgage isn't being paid, you risk losing the property. That is how a lot of families, especially in our community, lose our wealth. We have a house and no one's taking ownership of the house.
Yes.
Or we have a house and no one has the money to maintain the house.
Yes.
So then the house has to be sold. The money is split. And ask those people 5 years later what they did with the money.
That's right.
They can't even tell you what they did with the money. So losing assets is very common. Fighting over assets is very common. And so those are the types of instances that really erode an asset. So even when the family finally gets it, it might be beat up and bruised by the time they get it.
How young should you be to, are wills and trusts for old people?
If they are, then I'm old.
Right? Right? When should a person have a will or a trust?
Short answer, get a will when at the very least you have a child and or an asset. And by asset, I mean you own a home, a condo, a co-op, and you don't co-own it with anyone else. So at the very least, if you have either a minor child and or you own some form of property, then you should have a will that dictates what happens to that minor child and what happens to that property. And if that's you and you're 28, go ahead and get your will at 28. Don't look at 28 and think, oh, I don't need to do it. Look at what you have and who you're leaving behind and let that dictate whether or not you need a will.
Hmm. And you can leave your assets, things that you own, to a charity.
You absolutely can.
Which I'm sure your family will be thrilled about. That's your wish.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a ton of studies on charitable giving, and a lot of persons in the African American community, not only do we give during life, we give at death. Mm. And we give a lot, whether it's to our religious institutions, our alma maters, or just causes that we care about. So I can absolutely have something in my will that says, 30% to this person, 30% to that person, 30% to that person, and the 10%, give that to the National Down Syndrome Society. Give that to my sorority. Give that to the hospital that cared for my parents in their last few years of life. Give that to my university and make a scholarship out of it. So you can absolutely give to a charity. You don't have to give them everything, but you can give something in your will and or your trust.
Felicia asked regarding the discussions we're having about wills and that they're public. Felicia, and I know Felicia and her family and her amazing children, they're my moguls.
Awesome.
Felicia, go through their folders, their World of Money folders. You should see the will or the will slash trust of Michael Jackson. It's public. So we discuss real life, you know, situation. So it's in the folder. So the answer is yes. So, cause I found it somewhere. Okay. And she always, I also asked, I don't know whether we answered this question, cause we're getting all your questions. Please post in the chat. And also because I'm getting emails from people who are saying they're trying to find the link to join. And we sent maybe four links. So what, I know you're YouTube, but is it World of Money YouTube, Wakeza YouTube? If you're on Facebook, is it World of Money Facebook? Could you specifically put what platform you're joining us from? And again, thank you for being here. But Felicia's asking, can you put a property asset in a trust if there is a lien on it?
Great question, Miss Felicia. Yes, it depends. Another typical lawyer answer. It depends. There are some institutions, some lenders that understand that this is a part of estate planning, and they don't bat an eye when you go to them and say, I'm moving my property into my revocable trust. Most of the time, they don't have a problem with that because this is common practice. And two, the revocable trust is seen as an extension of you. It's not like you're giving it away to a new person. Remember the analogy of you're just moving it from your right pocket to your left, but it's in the same pair of pants. So because of that, you will find a lot of lenders that are comfortable with that, but still ask, because I have run into banking institutions that say, oh, absolutely not. We got into this mortgage with Sabrina, not with the Sabrina Lamb Family Trust. So you either need to pay off the mortgage and then transfer it, or you need to refinance under the name of the trust. And if you have a really good rate and you're refinancing at a time like today, you don't want to do that. So ask your lender, Miss Felicia. Excellent question.
Yes, it is. Tracy Holder has a question. I want to pass my property to my children without them having to pay capital gain taxes. Is that possible with a trust? Also, I want to keep the property in the family to go from generation to generation. Love her vision.
Yes.
Love it.
I love it. Vision. That's the key word for estate planning. Mm-hmm. Yes. The best way to help your children avoid capital gains is to either leave it in a will or leave it in a trust. Don't add them to the deed while you're alive, because then they do have to pay capital gains tax when they sell it. It's easy. It's quick and easy. It's going to the title company, a couple hundred bucks. Let me add my daughter. Let me add my son. Let me add my granddaughter to the deed. But it does create capital gains liability for them if they decide to sell it in the future. And yes, you can have property that goes from generation to generation. It is not uncommon for my clients to say, I want my children and my grandchildren to be able to use this property. They can live there, they can rent it out, but I want to keep it in the family because this is going to be part of our wealth building strategy. So yes, you can absolutely have that requirement in your trust, Ms. Tracy.
Great. Patrice24 at Gmail wrote, what can you do if you have a copy of the will, but the executor or family members cannot obtain a copy of the death certificate? How can you get your share regarding the will? Great question.
I'm curious about not being able to obtain a copy of the death certificate. If you are related to the decedent, you can just go to the Department of Vital Statistics and get a death certificate.
Do you have to be related? Because aren't death certificates public as well?
No, not that I know of.
Meaning, can't you go to any website and get a death certificate for almost anybody, right? No?
I haven't been able to do that. I've only been able to do it as the attorney because I'm representing the estate or for a family member, right? Okay. So if John Johnson passed away and I went to the Department of Vital Statistics, I think there's always a question and a proof of my relation to John Johnson. But keep me honest. If you all have had experiences otherwise, let me know. That just hasn't been my experience in New York and New Jersey.
Yeah, I've had that experience in Georgia, but I indicated who I am. I'm the daughter to my father, you know. So
right. So I think you were able to get that because you're his daughter. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if I pass away, you can't go and get my death certificate because we're not related, right?
Why is that though? Why isn't that a public record?
Because of the sensitive information that's on the death certificate, where you lived, where you died, how you died, who you're married to, where you were born, the year you were born, all of that is on your death certificate. So the preference is to keep that private. So Ms. Patrice, when you say, what can you do if you have a copy of the will, but the executor or family member cannot obtain a copy of the death certificate? The executor absolutely has the legal right to get a death certificate. So if they're telling you that they can't get it, either they're mistaken or they're not being forthright. But let's say they don't have the death certificate. If you are a named beneficiary in the will, you can go to the surrogate's court and basically petition the court to get involved and say, Miss Sabrina is the executor. She has the will. She's not executing her jobs as executor. And I need the court to put together an order forcing her to come to the court and explain what she is and is not doing. Oh. So you have that right as an heir or as a beneficiary listed in the will.
I'm thinking about that.
It's fighting words. I know.
Right. 324 Gmail. Could you place in the chat what state you reside or what state? Would they petition in the state where the decedent or the person passed away in?
Yes. Not where they live. It's not about you, the beneficiary. It's all about the decedent. Where did they live? Who were they married to? What does their state say about their rules? So yes, Ms. Patrice, I'd be interested for a further explanation about executor family members cannot obtain a copy of the death certificate. Firstly, all death certificates should be original. And a little, tidbit is whenever you're ordering a death certificate, order 5 to 7, 5 to 10, because you'll be handing this out like candy. The bank wants a copy. The employer wants a copy before they release a pension. MasterCard wants a copy to prove that you're dead so that they can wipe away the debt. You'll be giving this stuff away. So instead of ordering it every single time and waiting a week to 2 weeks, order a bunch at one time. So when they say they don't have access to it, I'm not quite sure what they mean when they say that, Ms. Patrice.
Patrice, could you put in the chat what state your the family member or whoever it was passed away in? Just curious what state that is.
Yes.
Felicia Palmer says, okay, I'm going to go dig up some celebrity wills. Okay. Jay Pye.
Yes.
Right. Can you have more than one? Can I just, before we get there, because I just want to make sure I say this, the intestate part is everything that you said is so on point. Everything you said regarding that issue in the city of New York, there has been an epidemic of people passing away. They're dying intestate. They have property, but they passed away intestate. And people going down to the Department of Finance in New York City and changing the title into their name.
So true.
Stealing the property, people.
So true.
That's the other transfer that's happening.
So true. It is ruthless. There are businesses built on this. Oh, this was owned by Sabrina. Oh, Sabrina died 17 years ago. Literally, she died 17 years ago, 7 years ago, 7 months ago, and no one has claimed it or tried to take ownership of it through the court. They will scout out every living heir, give them a little piece of pie, pennies on the dollar, and snatch that entire property, bulldoze it, turn it into a multi-million dollar piece. And people who are so sometimes understandably desperate for money, don't understand what they're doing. And they're like, you want to pay me $7,000 for my grandma's house? Okay. The house is worth $500,000. What do you mean? Okay. But that's what's happening.
And that instant, and then one where they're not even contacting their potential heir.
That
they're
too.
Just changing your family members' names into changing the title on the property. Because so maybe they walked past someplace in Brooklyn or Queens and said, this property, no one's cut the grass or whatever. And they will go down to New York City.
Yes.
And change the names of your family members into their name. They will steal it outright.
It is.
This is how urgent and just crazy this is.
Yes. It's ruthless. My first estate planning case was about that. And I just, that took years to resolve. It's still not resolved. I said to resolve. It's still not resolved. This started in 2020.
And everyone joining from wherever you are, could you like and share the broadcast, please? Thank you very much. hello, Ruth Artist McLeod. She's joining us from Facebook, World of Money's Facebook page. Felicia Palmer is on YouTube. Yay. Charisse Miller, World of Money Mom, great. Please, hugs to the entire family. Hey, Shane. Hey, Courtney. They're probably grown people now, aren't they? Okay. I always, when our World of Money moguls attend World of Money, I expect them to stay 12 years old. And don't you dare grow up, okay? Dare. Okay. And here is a question from Jay Pye.
Jay Pye had another question too about one trust versus another trust. Okay. Can I have a revocable and can I have an irrevocable? Yes, Jay Pye.
Wants to get both sides.
Jay Pye is up to a serious strategy. So yes, you can have some assets in the revocable and the assets you're willing to relinquish control over, you can put those in an irrevocable trust.
Okay. And then this question regarding the expiration, Jay Pye's question.
Can a family member beneficiary renew a trust once it's coming up for expiration? That's an interesting question. That's an interesting question because that to me sounds like you have a plan for like 300 years. So I want to know, what's your plan, Jay Pye? But in summation, Yes, there can be language in there that allows the trustee to create another trust. It's not going to necessarily be a carbon copy of the existing trust, and there'll be instructions about what type of new trust to create. But yes, there can be that. There can also be, for those who have a really serious legacy strategy, there can be requirements in your documents that say, in order for you to receive your inheritance, you also need to set up your estate plan. You also need to set up a trust. You also need to leave something to the next generation. Everyone needs to get life insurance and put it in here so that it can continue to feed the generations. So you can have those types of instructions, Jay, so that multiple trusts can be created in the future. You don't necessarily need that one trust to live on forever and ever and ever. You can have language that says at a certain point, a new trust can be created. If it makes sense, honestly, if there's nothing in there but chiclets in a dream, there's no sense to create another trust. But if there's real wealth that's passing from generation to generation, then yes, you can do that.
Great. And Patrice said, grandfather died in Pennsylvania.
Okay. And I'm
Having
not.
difficulty. He has a copy of the will, the family members saying, I
Yes,
don't have
yes.
the death certificate.
And what is, oh, this is Patrice's relationship. So Patrice, I would go and again, I'm not clear as to what they mean when they say difficulty. I don't know if that's true or untrue.
He just wants to get his or her share of what's
I
outside
do
as well.
understand. So Patrice can do one of two things. If someone is blocking you or pretending to block and act like there's no death certificate, try to apply as the grandfather, excuse me, as the granddaughter of the decedent. And then also, if they continue to block the distribution of the will, then apply for a petition to force that person to come to the surrogate court in the county where your grandfather lived.
Say that again.
If the executor continues to refuse to probate the will and distribute to you your inheritance, go to the surrogate court in the county in which your grandfather lived and ask for the paperwork to force a petition to compel. Every jurisdiction calls it a little different, but I want to compel the executor to administer the will. I want to compel the executor to administer the will, and the person, the clerk at that office, will give you the appropriate paperwork to begin that process.
Are you licensed in one of the states, Pennsylvania?
No, New York, New Jersey, DC, Maryland, Georgia. I have a connection in Pennsylvania as well as some other states, but I'm not licensed
So you
there.
can refer.
No.
Sean Lutchman Singh, hello, sir.
Hi,
How is
Sean.
your son? Your son had better not have grown up, sir. I've been seeing Mr. Lutchman and your family sing for ages. Put in the chat how old your son is, but he wants to know how can we contact you.
My website, lilyandkinshore.com.
Yeah,
So
I posted on posted in.
great. First name, last name.com. You can schedule a consultation with me. It's 60 minutes to really talk about what you're trying to achieve and give you your options. And then we can go from there. So lilyandkinshore.com is the best way to contact me. Thank you for that question.
Got it. So we have 10 more minutes, everyone.
Already? Jeez, Louise. Oh,
I
gosh.
know.
Okay.
10 more minutes. So please pop your questions in the chat and I will put on the screen how you can reach Attorney Lily. And
Yes.
meanwhile, Charisse Miller says her children that should still be 12, Courtney's 21, that is grown, an LSU student.
Oh, yay. Congratulations, Courtney.
And Courtney Pierce graduated World Money at 12. She is 27.
That's beautiful.
What?
That's beautiful. Can I add one thing? I just want to give people, when you think of planning, think of the planning pyramid, the apex, the center, and the foundation. Everything you own, ever, including the socks on your feet, will eventually pass to someone else. And it's going to pass in one of three ways. The very tippity top of your pyramid is operation of law. The middle is operation of contract, and the foundation or the bottom represents your estate planning documents. Operation of law typically refers to real estate, land, and real property. Your deed will always dictate what happens to that property because the deed represents a legal designation by your state. That trumps everything else. That's why it's at the top of the pyramid. So, Sabrina, if you and I owned a home together, a rental property together, and we're on the deed as joint tenants, that house 100% belongs to me and 100% belongs to you. Mm-hmm. So when you die, I am now the 100% owner. No ifs, ands, or buts. You could have a will that says, oh, that house that I own and such, I want it to go to my sister. Your sister's not getting it because the operation of law will trump any conversation you may have had, will trump any will trump any trust. So I always encourage people to review your deeds. It is not uncommon for people to think they own property that they don't have. Just because you're paying the property taxes or paying the mortgage or fixing the roof, that doesn't mean that you own that property. The deed tells you who owns that property. Review your deed designations, and that will tell you how that asset is going to pass.
We're ready. Go ahead. Sorry.
The middle is operation of contract. Anything with the beneficiary on it, pension, IRA, life insurance, your checking and savings accounts, which you can and should add a beneficiary because those accounts are locked when you pass away. And we still need access to pay your bills, to pay funeral expenses, to keep the kids in school, to pay the property taxes, right? So anything that has a beneficiary listed, that asset is going to that beneficiary. No ifs, ands, or buts. So think of the foundation, your estate planning documents that control the assets that do not pass by operation of law and do not pass by operation of contract. So they're hanging out. We don't know what to do with them. I don't know what to do with the car in the driveway, the art on the wall, the checking account that's only in your name, your minor children. So that is the planning pyramid, operation of law, operation of contract, and then your estate planning documents.
You know what we're not talking about enough? And, and coming to your questions, please put your post your questions in the chat. Debt. So let's say that your family member has you in the will and owes a buckload of money. to the IRS.
Okay.
$50,000 to the IRS. Mm. But you are, an heir to their property.
Yeah.
Who gets first dibs?
The government. All after you pass away, your debts don't pass away with you.
Oh,
they're still there. So every will say, pay my debts first. And then whatever is left.
Say that in the will, though?
Well,
you say every will. Really?
Every will will say that.
Met by you're a mandated attorney. So
you have
to see that in there.
Even if I don't put it in there, the creditors have first right to your assets. So MasterCard, IRS, anybody can go to the surrogate's court and say, I'm putting a lien on this estate because the person who died owes me $50,000. So even if your will doesn't say pay my debts first, once the creditor learns that you've passed away, they have every right to put a lien. I will say that most debtors have a time limit. Most states won't allow it to go past 12 months. So if you die, your creditor has to raise their hand or forever hold their peace within the first 9 or 12 months of your passing. So let's say the IRS comes knocking and says, hey, your loved one owed us $50,000. You as the executor are not personally responsible. So don't feel like you need to empty your savings account because your loved one didn't pay their debt before they died. Your job is to see if you can get the money from the estate. And if the estate doesn't have any money, then your job is to negotiate with the IRS and say, there's no money. She owes you $50,000. There's only $1,700 here. What you want to do? So you do have to go through those negotiations to get that off the record.
And I'm still thinking about Patrice's question, Patrice 24. So people need to know, if you're an executor and you're not fulfilling, you're not executing on the will, fulfilling the distribution as the will indicate, there are criminal consequences to that.
For sure, because as a fiduciary, criminal might not be, it might not rise to the level of a criminal law, but you do as a fiduciary, that's what you are. The law looks at you like a fiduciary. Everything you are doing should be for the benefit of the beneficiaries. And if you're jacking this up, the beneficiaries have a right to sue you. That's more of a civil matter than a criminal matter. But if Sabrina is the executor of my mom's estate, and every time I see Sabrina, she got a new fur coat, and I haven't gotten my inheritance.
It is nice, isn't it?
It is very, very lovely, very plush. I have a right to come after Miss Sabrina personally and say, she has been a terrible executor. She has been stealing from my mom's estate. So yes, the beneficiaries have a right to go after an executor who is not fulfilling his or her duties.
Okay. Kim Ham writes, my dad owns a home. His name is the only one on the deed. There are four kids. What happens to the house if he passes?
Is he married? If he's not married and he only has four children, then eventually that house will be owned by the four of you. So technically the intermediate step is one of you has to go to the court and say, my dad died. This is his asset. These are his heirs. Then once you are named the executor,
He's not married.
Okay. Not married. So one of you or all of you, preferably one, too many chefs in the kitchen. One of you can go to the court, apply to be the administrator. You're an administrator when you don't have a will, and you're an executor when you do have the will. So you would apply to be the administrator. You get your letters from the court. Now you can either sell that home and split it four ways, or you can put four names on the deed and the four of you own that property equally and divvy up the responsibilities of home ownership.
Felicia asks, how much should we budget for services, estate planning, preparing the will, the trust, anything that we need in order to make sure everything is in order? And do you work with, the insurance companies? Do you represent, if I was, you know, to hire you, you contact the insurance company everywhere? Do you work together with all of those financial institutions?
Yes. Got it. So cost, Miss Felicia, depends upon where you're located. But in my experience, you should expect a will to cost anywhere between $1,200 and $1,600. You should expect a revocable trust to cost anywhere between $2,500 and $3,500. The irrevocable trust can be a little bit more complex, so they can be $35,000 to $5,000. And your emergency documents, the power of attorney, the healthcare proxy, those are the documents that allow you to name someone who can make decisions for you in the event you are incapacitated. Those documents are also around, I've seen them as low as $900 and all the way up to $1,500. So if you tell me I want a will and a trust, you should budget $35,000 to $4,000 maybe to do that, depending upon where you're located. And to answer your question, Miss Sabrina, if you've hired me to help you become the executor of your loved one's estate or the administrator of your loved one's estate, then yes, I handle that process. Not only am I going to the court to get you the letters, but then we're able to locate any open debts that person may have had, any open accounts. We are drafting the letters to the beneficiary saying, this is your gift, sign here as proof that you received it. We are closing it up and doing all of that. Some people actually don't want that help because they don't want to pay. They just want someone to help them get the letters and they do the rest. And we can do that as well.
So Felicia asks, thank you to, where is it? Oh, thanks, Wakeza. So if you're not clear on what Wakeza is, World of Money is an organization that I founded that serves through financial education, young people, children ages 7 to 18. Some of the World of Money parents are here this evening. Wakeza is for adults. And over the years, I've been so inspired by all adults, particularly those that are here tonight in World of Money parents who, you know, want to make sure that they're on point in terms of managing their homes, you know, financially, as well as legacy planning, all of that. So parents, adults, what case is for you? I need you to do two things right now. I see another question or questions in the chat. We're going to answer that before we wrap. Need you to like this broadcast, no matter what platform you're on. And the reason why I'm asking you to do that is because the algorithm promotes it to so that other people can see it and get the information that you're getting this evening. Next Tuesday at 7 o'clock, that's the 11th of April, we're having Mark Lichtenfeld. He has a new book called Get Rich with Dividends. We're going to discuss in detail, walk through investing. I probably give away a couple copies of his book, but he's great. He's also a World of Money teacher. Really great, understandable information. And what's also really talked about is the power of dividends. So you're going to get to learn that. So you'll get an email. So share that with everyone. But that's what Wakiza does, okay? And it's empowering the African diaspora, because we came to this land called the United States of America by different ships and boats and all that sort of thing, but empowering all the communities. So if you're from, you know, American born or from Senegal, Ghana, Nigeria, Wakiza, which is means invest in Swahili, is for you. So I need to make sure that you go there, wakiza.com, to sign up so you can get the newsletters. And of course, the World of Money, and tell all your friends. So finally, adults have their own platform. And yes, we will launch an investment app through Wakiza for adults. So even the previous World of Money graduates who are now adults, send them to Wakiza to sign up for the wait list, okay? And I need you to spread the word, because we need to grow that wait list, okay? Awesome. So you're sharing, you're liking this broadcast, and then you're going to wakiza.com and you're signing up for the wait list. And join us next Tuesday at 7 o'clock on a deep dive, understandable dive in terms of this very powerful tool called dividends. And not every company pays dividends, by the way. And of course, we're registering for World of Money this summer. Go to worldofmoney.org for that information. So let's go to the, okay, Felicia Palmer writes, yeah, it's true. So talking about death is hard for many. How do we approach these topics carefully? Great.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard.
How do you do that?
Persistency. Firstly, I always try to encourage people to step away from the idea that estate planning is death planning. It's not. Estate planning is legacy and your opportunity to tell your story. And legacy isn't only wealth. Legacy is leaving down a family ethos. Legacy is leaving a good example for the next generation to plan. So I, as much as possible, say we're not talking about a time where you're not here. We're talking about a time. Well, we are, but we're not really focusing on the time when you're not here. We're focusing on the words and the love and the instructions that you want to leave behind when you're not here. Your essence is still going to be felt. Your words won't be heard anymore. So we need your words on paper so that we can continue to hear about you and what you want and what you love. So I lay it out that way, and then I'm persistent. I am an estate planning attorney, and it took me 5 years to get my parents to plan. They thought I was trying to kill them, and I told them to relax because there's nothing in their house that I want. So persistency and making it a conversation about leaving behind your ethos and your vision, and not just about when you're not here. But I will be honest, there are people that you will talk to until you're blue in the face, and they absolutely refuse for fear or superstition. I've had people say, my dad is literally in the hospital. We don't think he's going to make it past 2 weeks. and he refuses to estate plan. What can you do? I can be here for you when your dad dies and we have to go through the process. Because if he's that stubborn, he's that stubborn.
Imagine all the emotional chaos that you can get rid of. Imagine that you won't have to rely on GoFundMes. Mm-hmm. Imagine all the arguments you can avoid. But imagine that your wishes are fulfilled.
Yes.
So joining us tonight has been, let me put her on. And she is a Wakaza expert as well. So I'm so glad to welcome her.
Beautiful.
To teach, not to sell, to teach. Mm-hmm. So tell us how we can reach you.
Yes, thank you. You all can reach me at lilyandkinshore.com. You can schedule a consultation there. I have videos, so I've broken down things like what's a will, what's a trust, what's a power of attorney, 60-second videos, just enough for you to get some education, and then we can have a call to do a deep dive. You can always find me on social media. You can just type in my name on LinkedIn, YouTube, and Instagram. I haven't been as active on social media, but I plan to kick that up in June, but you can always go to the website.
Fantastic. Thank you all so much for being with us. Hope to see you soon next Tuesday. Definitely sign up at Wakaza and spread the word. Yes. Let's keep this, stop this trillions of dollars of wealth transfer out of our families, our communities, so we can keep it amongst us. Okay. Thank
awesome.
You so much. I'm going to just end. One second. Want to have I have my little banner. I've been planning it.
Yes.
So hold on.
Let's see it. Thank you, everyone. Really appreciate you all for being here.
Here we go. Thank you. Good night.